It is a cold and dark night as a carriage moves along the paved road that spreads along the Sword Coast, connecting most of the major settlements. This carriage is drawn by two horses and driven by a oldish gnome with a tall hat and a bit of a pipe. As the carriage moves along the rickety road, it begins to pass a famous landmark, Candle Keep, one of the greatest locations in the Sword Coast for those seeking knowledge. It doesn't, of course, pass too near Candle Keep, but it passes by a little road stop where many travellers will often wait for the carriage to come and bring them on to other places. As this carriage moves along the road, it currently has a passenger. They have been riding for some time in the carriage, possibly 2 or even 3 hours at this point. They haven't been alone the entire time, but at this point, the last passenger got off a few stops ago. Who is this individual we see, currently alone in this quite comfortable, if a bit rickety, carriage?
Who you see is a white-scaled dragonborn. In between the sleekly fitting furs and padded clothing I'm wearing, my scales are a dull white, meshing with pale teal. I am Bex. Bex with the cold eyes, the grey eyes, which look a bit fired up since last time he was told off in the story here. My snout is snubbed, and I'm still wearing that slightly annoying, knowing smile. I am sitting there with my dirk, on which I just cut my finger as I was trying to polish it while we were still going. And next to me is a fine new coat, purple, that I recently acquired during my successful operation in Esmeltaran in Amn. I'm humming softly to myself as the ride goes along.
Indeed you are. And then the carriage stops. You hear some conversation outside. The driver is speaking to someone, agreeing to payment by the sounds of it. And then the door opens, and someone steps inside. Who is this person who steps in out of the cold night air?
Well, before you is again a human male wearing expensive-looking robes, colored in purple and red. He has wavy, slightly frizzled, now long dark hair, and the once perfectly trimmed goatee has grown into a beard. He looks tired, like he hasn't slept much. Not just recently, but the last few months. I remain Alto, apprentice wizard. I've learned so much from the Great Library, as well as from whatever relevant books I was able to locate in the Firefly Cellar. The business with that rhyme was rather traumatic, but at least I came out of it stronger, and with the knowledge that I can take care of myself in a dangerous situation. It's been quite the adventure, really, and it feels good to be able to go back home. I'm certain the mistress will be pleased with the notes I've taken and what I've learned about weather magic. We will do great things when I get back. So yes, that is where I am, waiting for this carriage.
And as you enter it, Alto, and move to sit, you immediately realize you recognize the person sitting across from you. What do you do as the carriage starts once again moving into the night?
I look at the creature in the cart with me, and I see if they're looking back at me.
I am sucking on my fingers where I cut myself. I don't like having an audience when I've made a mistake. I see that you are intent on staring at me, and I look up. I take the finger out, and I say, "What do you want?"
Fate brings us together again, huh? It's good to see you again, Bex.
I tilt my head and squint my eyes. Sika Altos, yes?
Yes.
The negotiating man. The man who didn't mind my disrobings. The man with the missiles, yes?
Yes. That would be me. How have you been?
I look you up and down. I have had fun since last we met, and I pat the purple robes that lie next to me. I see you still wear the same color. I was inspired. What do you like my new furs?
I do like the colors. Very elegant indeed. I will have to get new things when I get back to Baldur's Gate, though. I've been in these same clothes now for the last few months, and I am in dire need of a trimming of my beard as well. It's gotten out of control.
I've always wondered how it feels to have fur growing out of your bodies. It's an interesting concept. You look tired, yes? You have been studying all this time.
Yes, burning the midnight oil. Reading book after book after book. There's much still to find there, but I have accumulated a nice amount of knowledge now that I can bring back to my mistress. I've learned a thing or two about weather magic. Let's see what we can do with that.
I grimace a bit. Yes, and I try to look out through the dark windows, but Candlekeep is moving out of sight. Yes, I didn't get too much time there. Strong memories, though. Some fond memories. It was upsetting, but entertaining, yes.
It was a pity that you were not allowed to stay. Well, not much to do about that now.
You meet anyone nice? Maybe some cute, scholars?
I only met books. Lots and lots of books.
See, this is why you're tired. You only see to one part of your needs, my friends. We come to Baldur's Gate, then we maybe have time to have some funs.
Maybe. I could need it, definitely.
Yes. Mustn't burn your candle on both keeps. On both ends.
Yes. I lean back in the cart. You've been in this one for a while, huh?
Yes, since,
Carriage rattles a little as you continue on your journey for about maybe 30 minutes or so, maybe an hour. You notice as you look out the window, Bex, that it has become extremely foggy. You can barely see anything out the window. It's slightly unsettling.
Weather seems strange for this times of the years, I say, and I look out.
It is an unpleasant night, isn't it?
I open the door. Drivers, you see where you're going?
Yeah, just a little bit of fog. Don't worry. Hang on. Just maybe go a bit slower.
Can we take a break soon? I need to stretch my back. I have... My tail is getting uncomfortable.
When you say this, the carriage suddenly comes to a halt. Quite suddenly, you lurch forward in your seat.
Could have done that more smoothly. I snatch my coat and I step outside into the brisk air.
You open the door of the carriage and step out into the mist. You clutch your cloak tight around you as you look around. You can't see anything at all. Other than, of course, the candlelight from the carriage itself. You can't even really see the driver or the horses, funnily enough, from this point. Just all around you, dark mist.
This is strange. Alto, you learned weather magic, yes? Maybe you can make sight clearer. I kneel down and just try to look at the ground to make sure we're actually on a road.
You are on a road, you think. The cobblestones are quite faded, though.
Yes, this is strange. Very strange. This isn't natural, is it? I try to jog my memory about what I've learned about weather and about, well, sudden weather changes and about sudden fog.
You can make a nature roll if you wish.
I shall. That is a 7.
Well, it's awfully foggy as you sort of step out, but, I mean, fogs happen. Although, this time of year, it's a little strange to have fog this thick on this road, especially in the Sword Coast. Granted, sometimes, you know, it does come in from the coastline, but you're not that near the coast at the moment.
I don't know. There's something strange about it, but I can't... Maybe it's just that kind of night, huh?
Maybe, yes. How can you even see the road, driver? I tried to look into the fog. I don't even see him.
There is no response.
Driver? How can you see the roads?
Where is he?
I don't know. Maybe he walked off to take a piss.
He should have told us in that case. We need to look around to see if we can figure out what's happened.
Yes, we'll probably not go too far. I start go around the wagon where the horses are.
You do. And as you arrive at the front of the wagon, you see neither driver nor horses.
Alto, the horses are gone.
What? No. This is very, very bad. This is really, really bad.
I start to feel a chill. It's not just the weather. Yes, something's is going on. I look around me. I try to listen intently if there's anyone else here.
You can't really hear much of anything. No birds, no beasts, no rustling of trees, just a sort of strange whisper on the wind. That is all, as you are here now with this carriage, in this mist with no horses or driver.
You don't have a contract on your heads, I hope?
No. No, I don't. Do you?
Not anymore, I think. Well, maybe best to stay close to the wagons, yes? Until the mornings, yes? When the... if it clears, I say, and I wrap my purple coat closer around me and I start to try to go back inside of it again.
You step back in the carriage and take a seat.
And I follow. Yes, it would best stay here, I suppose, until we can see a little bit more. I don't want to get lost in the fog there. It might be very dangerous.
You see me taking on my belts of various articles and things that I would use as if I was ready to travel, but I still sit there and I smile at you a bit awkwardly as if I'm getting ready to sit down, but I'm doing the opposite.
And so you sit in your carriage. An hour passes, and then another. What are you doing? There is no light, very little sound, just mist and darkness as you wait.
This is getting ridiculous. Can we really sit here and wait? I mean, maybe there's something around here. I mean, we might get targeted by bandits or something if we remain here.
I'm trying to sleep. So I turn around on the narrow seat on the other side. Is the fog still there, I say, and I snuggle, trying to put the coat over my face.
It is indeed dark and thick.
What do you suggest? Morning cannot be that far off.
Let's give it a bit more time. It's too thick. Just lose the wagon if we went out into that soup.
Try and sleep, Seeker Altos. Try and sleep.
I'll keep watch, all right? I'll make sure nothing sneaks up on us. I say, and I try to do that. You sleep.
Yes, all right. Whale wakes me soon. But not too soon.
Yes, of course.
And so, Alto, you maintain a watch. During this time, you do notice, much like Bex did, that there does seem to be a road still. And as you look, you notice it's not everywhere. There's definitely a road and then dirt. So you're on a road. You're on a road. You can maybe even see a little bit of the paving stones just go off a little into the dark. And you wait. 4 more hours pass. Darkness awaits you. Bex, you wake with a start.
What? Why do you wake me?
Alto, you look over to Bex, who is nowhere near you, and are surprised you are dozing off yourself a little. You have no idea how much time's passed. The fog is dark and thick.
I must go to the bathrooms. I just put on all my things again, just to do the simple task. I'm weary. Just be a minute.
I begin casting dark vision in order to give myself the ability to see in this darkness. Maybe that will help. Maybe that will help me make sure that he doesn't get lost.
As Bex goes outside and steps a little away from the carriage, he finds somewhere to do his business. And yes, Alto, with your dark vision, you see the road does continue a little past him. You can see road. You might even be able to see a bit of forest in the gloom.
It feels better to be able to see, even if it's just a little bit more, to be able to see.
I am first uncomfortable with being too close to the wagon. I try to measure my paces to just go straight and then do my business. I try to make my way back just straight where I came from before.
It's not too difficult. Again, there is light still in the carriage, although those candles are starting to get quite low now. You'll need to replace them soon.
I look at the candles. Time have passed. Why is it not getting any brighter?
That's strange, isn't it?
It is strange, Seeker Altos.
I thought more time had passed, but it doesn't get bright. This is strange indeed.
I do not have time for this. Maybe they just stole the horses. They wanted something to ride on, whoever attacked the wagons and the drivers. They knew, perhaps, that the ones inside would be too powerful for them to handle.
Yes, it must be like that, I say, and I feel reinvigorated by those words. Yes, we are powerful. We've stopped something that was quite dangerous together. We can handle whatever comes our way.
However, I have a contract in Baldur's Gate, and I must move on. I'm sure you are eager to come as well, yes?
Yes, well, maybe we can just try and follow the road. If there's no horses here anyway, so we might even have to walk. I can see the road. I've used my magics to be able to see in the darkness.
I can sense that, yes. Well, let us do that then. I am restless. And I stretch out my back and my tail. Make sure I have everything with me, including my new, fashionable, shaded spectacles. Though I don't put them on when it's so dark.
So what do you do?
Well, I take the lead with my dark vision eyes. I begin leading us in the direction of where Baldur's Gate is. I mean, I knew where we were headed. I know which way the cart is pointing. Surely that must be the way. The road basically only leads one place here, right? More or less. So let's follow it. And I begin moving forward and into the mist.
And so you move forward, making sure to stick to the roads. You notice very quickly that, apart from the road itself, you are surrounded by heavy forest on both the left and right of you, which is a little strange. Bex, do you follow?
I do.
And you begin moving through the darkness, although your dark vision makes it a little less dark. What about you, Bex? What do you do about this darkness?
I step up to Alto and I try to hold his hands.
Take his hand? Yeah, that's a good idea. Make sure we don't get separated.
No, I get uneasy.
Oh, that's okay too.
And you begin moving forwards. A minute or two passes, and you'll notice very quickly, both of you, that if you turn to look behind you, the carriage is now gone. Or at least, it seems like it's gone in the mists. You're now just alone in the dark on this road, with just two directions to you, north and south.
And do I still see as little as before, or is it a... what?
Up ahead, you think you're starting to make out a few shapes. Road and trees, it's still completely dark, but you think you can at least see a few things in the mist now, yes.
Just a second, I say, as I start to make out things. Just for safety's sakes, yes? And I cast invisibility on second level, weaving the flows and tying the airs and touching, holding Alto's hand stills, so that we both turn invisible. I can hold this for an hour, I think, in case they are still lingerings.
And so you vanish, becoming almost as hard to see as the world around you. And you begin moving forwards, and then also after about 10 minutes, you think you see a carriage. It's not your carriage, this is a different carriage. It's a bit smaller, but it has a horse. And it's parked in front of a building. You suddenly realize there is a large building just on the right side of this road. But again, the building itself is cloaked in darkness. But you can kind of make out some details as suddenly you realize moonlight is shining from the sky. The mists, they have... gone. No, they haven't gone. They're still kind of there on the sides of your vision, but the sky itself is no longer completely clouded. There is a bright moon full in the sky. This building before you appears, first of all, to have a large, grim black tower, sort of just sticking out into the air, although the rest of the building is not made of the same material, you don't think. It's almost like this was a tower of some castle. Attached to it is a house. The house is a three-story manor house, weather-beaten and covered in ivy. There is a porch leading into the house, and a sagging roof covers the front door. As you see the side, Alto, you also notice that there are two individuals, sort of just near the carriage. But you can't quite see them yet, and of course you and Bex are completely invisible. What do you do?
I whisper to Bex, should we ask them for help?
Maybe comes a bit closer, see what they are saying, yes? Maybe figure out their characters, yes?
Yes, all right. And begin moving forward slowly.
Since I can't see him either, I'm still holding onto his hands.
Perhaps hoping to overhear something that these two individuals are saying, if they seem to be a threat or not.
Well, you certainly are able to see them better, because one of them is carrying a large lantern that they suddenly reveal as they are beginning to head towards this building. Yes, they're walking towards the building. There are two of them. They are both clothed in quite fancy-looking leather coats and leather jerkins, leather boots. Very stylish, in a way. Although their clothing also does look a little weather-beaten. They look identical. Not quite identical. No, they have different hairstyles, you realise, and one has an eye patch, but they are both youngish-looking women, maybe in their late 20s. You think to yourself, Alto. Dark-skinned, black frizzy hair, small button noses, and some freckles. But yes, they almost are completely identical, other than their clothing. One has a belt with two swords upon it, and seems to maybe even have a little glint of armour underneath their leather jerking. The other has a staff, some pouches in their belt. Not quite the same weaponry. That's the one with the eye patch. She's also the one carrying this lantern as these two women begin approaching this building and lay down the lantern in front of the door. What do you do?
They seem harmless enough. I speak up, and I let go of Bex's hand, I suppose, hoping that the invisibility will wear off. Hello? Excuse me?
The invisibility does indeed wear off as you speak. The individuals blink and quickly draw their weapons. Well, the one with the swords does. The one with the staff, again, also holds it out carefully as the one with the sword says, "Oh, what? Oh my goodness, where did you come from? Hello? Who are you?"
No, don't worry, I'm not a threat. We got lost, me and my friend. We were in a carriage and we ended up in the mists, and now we're here. Where is here exactly? Where on the Sword Cold Coast are we now?
The individual with the sword squints at you a little suspiciously, though the one with the eye patch sort of frowns a little more sympathetic. What do you think, Jennifer? Is these people... It's a little strange, isn't it? Well, yes, Laurie, it is a little strange, but, well, it doesn't seem bad. Well, yes, I know it doesn't seem bad, Jennifer, but you never know, you never know. You, okay, Sword Coast, what's that? What are you talking about?
Faerun, Sword Coast, Baldur's Gate? Ever heard about any of those places? Candlekeep?
Can't say I have. You were just wandering around in the mists? It's a rather silly thing to do.
No, we were in a cart, in a carriage. And then the driver and the horses were gone. Taken by the night.
Huh. Well, that does sound rather unpleasant, if you're telling the truth. We were heading to... where were you heading?
Baldur's Gate. It's a big city on the Sword Coast.
Ah, well, unfortunately, you've got quite lost. You're nowhere near there.
Oh. Where are we, then? And what is the nearest city?
Well, Mordenshire is about 2 hours down the road that way. She kind of gestures to the road as it curves. And yes, you're in Mordent at the moment.
Mordenshire, Mordent. Do I know anything about a place with such a name?
No. You have never heard of these names.
My, we must have gotten very lost, and I can't say I've ever heard of Mordenshire or Mordent. Well, I suppose we shall have to make our way over there then, and see if we can find our way to Baldur's Gate from there, and maybe catch a carriage.
Well, maybe. You're not planning just to walk there now, are you? At this time of night, that's very unwise. At this point, the other one comes forward. Well, a little unwise, but, I mean, are you a traveller? Have you got means of protecting yourself? It's going to be very dangerous to walk.
Can you use magic? I think I can protect myself, although it is very dark. If we could perhaps have the ability to camp here or stay here, maybe we could head out in the morning instead.
Well, I don't see a problem with that. You're welcome to camp near our caravan if you want. We'd take you back ourselves, but I'm afraid we're a little busy.
Oh, that's all right. We will do that then. Would it be all right to camp here then, or should we go your caravan, you said?
Yes, right there. The carriage?
Oh, of course.
Certainly. Well, you're welcome to stay there, although, again... Well, I mean, I don't know. You don't look like much of an adventurer, unlike ourselves, but it's a bit dangerous to wait alone in the carriage by yourself. Could be dangerous. We don't quite know yet. The other woman steps forward. Yes, it's a dangerous night, and things could get quite dangerous here. You might be better sticking with us, although that will also be dangerous. I'm sorry.
Suppose we could do that. Better to be with friends than to be alone?
Certainly. The woman with the sword steps forward and extends a gloved hand. Pleasure to meet you, by the way. Laurie. Laurie Weathermay Foxgrove. A pleasure.
Oh, Alto.
I reluctantly as he comes over, let go of my invisibility as I'm standing next to him, and I've been eyeing the wagons. I would have preferred it if we just took their wagons and be on our ways while they do whatever they do with this house. But then, stupid driver has gotten us to the completely wrong place, so we would probably not end up in the right place even if we had our wagons. So there, I appear with my arms crossed, and I, after whatever reaction they have, hold out my hands.
The woman blinks again and goes for her sword again. The other woman seems a little less alarmed. Goodness me, did you make a habit of suddenly popping out of nowhere?
I don't trust the roads or the people around, especially not when horses are stolen and driver disappears mysteriously. Yes, you understand, maybe.
Well, I suppose I do, but at the same time, are you sure you said you had a driver and horses? Are you sure they were stolen?
They were gone. Maybe he took them himself. I don't know. Maybe he took us to the wrong place and scammed us. I don't see why, though. We weren't supposed to pay until arrivals. You are Jennifer, yes? I am Bex.
Oh, yes, I'm Jennifer. Pleasure to meet you. Yes, and I'm Laurie. This is my sister. We are the Foxgrove twins. You may have heard of us.
Twins, you look nothing like each other's.
They laugh at this and say, really? That's refreshing to hear. Thank you. Thank you. I personally think I'm the prettier one. Well, no, maybe you are. I don't know. Yes, yes, I think I am.
Are they pretties?
Depends on your preference. They are human women.
I like people with scaled skins and robust snouts.
In which case they have neither of those.
Then they are not pretties. I look at the house. What do you want with this house?
Well, we're investigating to see... Well, it's a little bit of a mystery. I mean, if you want to hear, I'm happy to tell you.
Why not investigate house? If it's empty, better place to sleep than outside.
Well, I don't know if we're going to want to rest in this house, says Laurie as she steps forward. You see, this house hasn't been here for many, many years and has only reappeared suddenly, which I'm sure you can imagine is slightly concerning.
And I glance over to Altos.
Reappeared?
Yes, yes. I think, we've got the notes in the bag, I think the Halvarest family owned this land and this house 20, 30, ooh, maybe even 50 years ago, actually. And no one knows what happened to them, and suddenly their house has just reappeared. So we, naturally, being the heroic bunch we are going to investigate. We have to make sure there's nothing dangerous inside. Any untamed spirits, you know how it is. You need to make sure you know where your spirits are. Otherwise they go all over the place. Yes, indeed, most unfortunate.
Funny you mention spirits. Me and my companion, Seeker Altos, here, we had, last time we met, an unfortunate run-in with horrible spirits.
You don't say. You've actually tackled. Have you been successful in your dealing with the dead?
It was a music box disguised as a book that was somehow possessed with spirits that needed to be crushed by big stones.
It's an unusual way of exorcising a ghost, but it's certainly interesting. Well, you know, rather than waiting outside, I mean, you're welcome to do that, but you could also help us. How about anything you find, you keep? We're not interested in the possessions. Probably cursed. But if there's something valuable, what do you say?
Sounds fun.
Yes, it does. It sounds like it's better than waiting around here in the darkness, for sure. Let's do it.
Yes, fun.
Laurie, are you sure about this? I not thought we wouldn't appreciate your help, but it could be very dangerous. I mean, you have said you've dealt with the dead before, which is good, but we have no idea what manner of spirits will await us in there, or how many there'll be. Oh, Jennifer, I'm sure it'll be fine. Four of us together? Come. Besides, we were trained by the greatest monster hunter the world's ever known, so, you know, we're pretty good at this.
And who is that?
Have you not heard of him? Rudolf van Richten.
Have I heard of Rudolf van Richten's?
No, you have not.
Then he cannot be so great. I look at them and I try to assess their capabilities just by looking at them, how they carry themselves.
Roll me an insight check.
15s.
Well, they've got weaponry. They're armed. They're very confident as well. They don't seem that unnerved to be out here, which, to be honest, is something, because it's a rather unpleasant place you find yourself in, you think to yourself. They definitely have form as well. Yes, yes, they've been trained. They have fought before, you can tell.
Those weapons you carry, you think they are effective against spirits?
Well, my sword's not so much, not without the proper enchantments, but get those up, they can help a little bit, yes. Besides, we'll not be dealing with the spirits in that manner initially. We'll attempt to communicate with them first. Find out what their unfinished business is, you know, the usual.
Yes, I know the usuals.
The woman nods and says, yes, indeed. Hopefully we'll be able to get the spirits to move on to the mists. If not, well, they'll stick around. They could be harmful. Worst case scenario, they'll become his, and we can't have that happening. No, we can't.
You are an enchanter, Laras.
Me, Laurie? No. I don't really get that magic stuff. It's very complicated. Jennifer's learned a little bit from Van Richten. Yes, Van Richten taught me a little on how to channel the nature.
Interesting. It will be fun to watch and fun to see you communicating, yes. But when we're done, we must find our way back to the civilizations.
Laurie steps forward and nods. Yes, no, of course. We'll go inside, do our investigation, see how it goes, and then as soon as we're done, we'll happily take you back to Mordenshire ourselves, and then maybe you can find your way from there.
All right. Let's do that.
And you begin stepping forward to the house. You follow these two as they move to the doorway that leads into this large house. You're currently standing on a porch. The wood creaks as you step on it. They look at each other and give the double doors a gentle push and lead you into the house, using the lantern for light. The house itself is completely dark, other than this lantern light and, of course, your dark vision. As you look around, you notice peeling wallpaper and a musty scent cling to the walls of this spacious foyer. A curving staircase rises from the cracked tile floor to a balcony above, keeping its distance from a darkened chandelier. Doors lead in every direction. In the room's centre is a bronze sculpture of an antlered eagle perched atop a marble pedestal. Laurie, the one with the swords, holds the torch while Jennifer begins moving towards the northern door. You find yourself in this large foyer. There's an exit behind you, a door forwards, two doors, one left, one right, and of course this great staircase that goes up and up into the building.
I remain behind the leader, the one with the torch, looking around carefully, using the fact that I can see better than anyone else, probably, trying to be ready for anything unexpected.
Rather than following along, I circumvent a little bit, just to kneel down and look at the dust and see what has been disturbed, if other people might have moved here recently.
You notice the dust has not been disturbed for some time. The floor is thick with it. There are cobwebs as well.
Seems like no one has been here for a while, I say, and I start to follow Alto and Laurie.
Laurie leads the way, quite confidently, into another room, the one straight north. The doors open and lead into what looks like some sort of parlour. On the walls are dozens of faded portraits, the subject's eyes staring back at you. A wide mirror hangs over a tall fireplace set in the north wall, although the fireplace currently is empty. There is also a table in this room, surrounded by chairs, and there is something on the table. As Laurie strides forward, Jennifer comes behind her and says, Well, that's useful. Look at this, sister. What is it? And Jennifer points to you, Alto, and says, come, look at this. On the table is a very strange device. You've never really seen one of these before. It's like some sort of wooden board, and on it are letters and numbers and symbols. And next to it is some sort of little viewing glass or like a little lens. And it's just sitting there on the middle of the table. What do you do, Alto?
Have I seen anything like this before?
Roll me an arcana check.
17.
Do you believe Alto is very familiar with the occult, specifically things to do with the sphere of necromancy in his magical studyings?
He has a little bit of a forbidden interest in those dark arts. He knows he's not supposed to look into them, but, well, you know, it's kind of fun, isn't it? He has looked at some books like that that he wasn't supposed to look at.
You think this might be a spirit board? Have you heard of these? They're supposed to be able to communicate with the dead. Now, granted, clerics and some wizards can just speak to them directly, go to a graveyard, cast a certain spell, instant communication. But this is for more difficult communication. This is for people who maybe don't necessarily have the magical talent to do a spell, but it can still work just as well.
It's a spirit board. It's used to communicate with the deceased.
Well, yes, it certainly is. I'm glad the people here had one. This is going to be useful. We should use this, sister. Yes. Yes, I think we should. Yes, yes, yes. Let's set it up, Jennifer. You know how they work. And we'll begin a little bit of a seance. This is good, actually. This is a much easier way of communicating with the dead of the house than simply poking around. It's going to take some time to set it up, though. Jennifer sits down at the table and begins examining the board, and Laurie starts stalking around the room. She looks to you, Alto, and then you, Bex. Well, while we set this up, it might be wise to do a little bit of a perimeter check. Are you two up for that? Go and just look around a few rooms. Don't go too far. Don't go too far.
Of course.
I am standing by one of the paintings, admiring the craftsmanship, or at least examining it. It feels like it's looking down at me, so I run my hand in front of its eyes.
The eyes do not move. But yes, it isn't a bad portrait. It is of a young human woman. Well, you say young, maybe 30, 40, 20. You can't really tell. Bit of an ageless quality to this woman. Her hair is done up in a tight brown bun. She is wearing a purple dress. Currently holding an umbrella in this portrait as well. You think you see something around her neck, some sort of necklace, a talisman, but you can't quite make out the details.
I squint at the portrait, seeing that it's not following my hand. I idly comment to Alto's, see, more purples. Whoever lived here had good tastes. I try to look for a nameplate.
There isn't one. There are several other portraits on the walls. There is one of a man wearing quite a nice suit-type attire. The clothing is very interesting. You think you saw some of this in M, but again, it's quite rich clothing. These people weren't poor, you think to yourself. And then there are some pictures of children. Yes, all of them are quite morose, just staring at you mournfully.
As they are talking and setting things up, and I'm strolling a little bit casually among the portraits, and I think to myself, there might be some fortune in this house, and something worth finding. Perimeter checks? Yes, yes, we will look.
This room in question has this northern fireplace. Must connect to some sort of small chimney up above. That's on the northern wall. You came in from the south. Two more doors are once again to the left and right of you.
Is there fire and a way to light it? Or firewoods?
There is wood. As you go to investigate, you notice it is not only completely damp, soggy, but also a little inspection reveals spiders and wood lice suddenly start emerging from the wood. Not in great number, but yes, you don't think this wood would burn.
I pull my coat closer. I don't like the moist of this place. But can we then look at the... When they say perimeter check, do they mean this room or, like, the house?
You believe they meant the house. Or rather, at least this floor. This is a three-story building, you think to yourself, but... There are definitely doors leading to other places. That must be what they mean. You see, Laurie is already kneeling down at the fireplace and nodding to herself. Yes, very good. Very good. Spiritual protections, Jennifer. The people here at least had some preparation. This is good. Good, good, good.
The fireplace has protections, I say, and I go and try to sense it.
Oh, no, no, the room. Can't you... Are you familiar with spiritual wards? The room is warded. At least most forms of spirit wouldn't be able to enter here easily.
It's not my specialties. It's like it's made for it.
Well, the noble lady of the family was probably interested in such things. Not surprising, of course. A lot of people don't want to get involved with it, but it's a daily part of life, and eventually I always feel better to confront the ghosts than just let them do what they wish. Yes, I know, Laurie, but, you know, some people feel differently about that, and not all the ghosts are always harmful. Yes, I know, but most are, especially if they serve him. Well, yes, obviously.
I look over to Altos. Yes, we go for strolls?
We do, yes. Serve him?
Yes, the Lord of the Land.
Oh, he's not nice, I take it.
He is a scourge, but unfortunately there is not much we can do about that. One day we'll be free of him. One day. The Lord of Griffin Hill. Make sure you don't go there.
we won't. Perimeter check. Of course, yes. I begin to feel a bit uneasy about this whole situation, but, well, we're together, and me and Bax will be able to make sure that there's nothing waiting for us out there. Yes, come on, Bax. Let's see what we can find.
There is a door to the left and a door to the right. Where do you go?
I look to Bax.
Let's take this one. I take the one to the left.
You open the door and it leads out into a small corridor. Other than the sound of the two women inside the parlour and the creaking of the floorboards as you enter this corridor, the house is deadly quiet. You cannot hear a sound coming from anywhere. But for a moment, both of you feel... an odd, oppressive feeling, as if for a moment you can feel every brick and every wooden panel of this house bearing down upon you. The feeling passes quickly, though, as you begin making your way down this long, dark corridor.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we played House of Lament from Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft for Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition. The music was created by Metatron Omega, Word Clock, and Flowers for Body Snatchers, and was used with permission from their label, Cryochamber. Check them out at cryochamber.bandcamp.com or their YouTube channel for more music for your table. We would like to give massive thanks to our champions of the Red Moon, Martin Hoshobert, Nastasha Rollerson, Simon Cooper, David, Julia, Camilla, Ludwig Manford, and Bob DeLang for their generous support. And we would of course also like to thank all of our other patrons. Without your support, the show would not be possible. If you want to support our work, please check us out on Patreon. You can get access to bonus campaigns for Cult of Entity Lost and Coriolis there, as well as get early and raw access to all of our recordings. You can also hear your name read on the show as a champion of the Red Moon, as well as play Cult with us. Most importantly, that support is what keeps the show going, so do check us out there. And remember, dread awaits beyond the mists.